Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, a community of entrepreneurs, freelancers, and remote workers who believe that life is better when you work together. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Find your tribe.
It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. In recent days, Iowa lawmakers have advanced plans to start a children's mental health system in the state. So this hour, we want to look at how it's taking shape, or at least what's being discussed in our legislature. IPR state government reporter Katarina Sestarek is at the State House and will be with me co-hosting this entire hour. Hi, Katarina. We'll get your microphone turned on there. Katarina, I think you're there now. Set the scene for us. What's been happening with mental health for children in the state?
So there is a bill to create a children's mental health system. It was proposed by Governor Kim Reynolds. She says it creates the framework for this system where no comprehensive system currently exists in Iowa, even though it's been talked about for many years, and now there's a bill. So advocates are pretty excited about that aspect of it. It would align with the adult mental health system, and it directs the state's 14 mental health regions to develop and provide various services for children. It puts boards and directors in place to create sort of a governance system to oversee that. And as far as that, it just sort of sets out this framework that has been missing up until now. And some critics are sort of saying, you know, the bill lacks deadlines for new services. It lacks universal mental health screenings for kids. And some are worried about sustainable funding. Those are just some of the issues that we'll talk about later in the show.
Right. We'll dig into those later in the hour. Where does this, where is this in the process now in the Senate and in the House? What can you tell us about that?
It's gotten through the Human Resources Committees in both the House and the Senate. The House leadership has said that they plan to have floor debate on this week, as early as this week. So we'll see how that goes after that.
Okay. And there at the State House with Katarina, we have two lawmakers. We'll get to them in just a moment, as well as a public school administrator. We want to reach out to you this hour and ask you if you have sought mental health services for your child in the past. What was that experience like? Perhaps it's an experience that will help us understand what needs to be part of the new mental health care system for children in our state. Join our conversation this hour, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. You can also email us, rivertoriver@iowapublicradio.org. Joining us now, Mary Neubauer is with us. Mary is involved in helping to shape and lobby this new legislation. Mary has been on this program before. Mary Neubauer, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Ben.
Yeah, we're just into the afternoon. Mary, you are a resident of Clive. You and your husband lost your son, Sergey, to suicide. He was 18 years old, and you have so generously shared this very painful part of your life so that we may raise awareness about it. And also, in this case, to have you tell us a little bit about trying to find a way through the mental health system here in Iowa when you were really in need and Sergey was struggling with mental illness. Give us an encapsulation of what you experienced.
You know, Ben, Larry and I were very lucky at the time that Sergey was at the height of his crisis that we were able to get emergency hospitalization care for him here in the Des Moines area. A lot of families aren't even able to find that, depending on where you are in the state. So luckily, he was able to go into the hospital when he unfortunately twice tried to commit suicide in the spring of 2017. But when it became obvious that the community-based care model that existed here in Iowa at the time for him after he would be discharged from the hospital, it became obvious that that wasn't going to be enough support for him. We said to the doctors and the nurses we were working with, you know, where can Sergey go to get the long-term residential care that he needs if he's going to have a chance to make a successful recovery? And these were caring, wonderful individuals doing their level best to help. But they really looked at us and said, we don't know. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you, just as a parent, in this moment of crisis for our family, for our son, to hear the experts who you would normally turn to. You know, if you break your arm, here's the specialist you go see. If you have heart disease, here's the specialist you go see. Sergey was struggling with depression, anxiety, PTSD, and they truly did not know where he could go. We certainly did our own research, hours and hours of research online and on the phone, and ultimately found two wonderful programs that could help him. One was in Arizona and one was in California, but then that compounded the difficulties that we were facing. Because imagine your child is deathly ill. You have to send them halfway across the country where you're not going to be able to see them or to visit very often. That was really hard. And the other part of that picture that I want to make abundantly clear is that we were really lucky that we were able to do that. There are so many families here in Iowa who wouldn't have the resources or the wherewithal to figure out a place for their loved one to go when the answer from the experts is, we don't know. And so for so many families out there, they simply hit the wall when they don't get the answers that they're looking for. And it is not an overstatement to say that lives are on the line and lives are being lost because we haven't had the right resources here in Iowa. I am incredibly encouraged that there appears to be a will this year to change things, and I hope that for other families we can make a difference. That is why Larry and I have chosen to speak out from the day that Sergey died. We've continued to speak out about this because we know it's too late for us. Nothing can change our story. But if we can make things better for someone else and for all those other families out there that are in the same situation that we were, then that's what we want to do.
Mary Neubauer, she lost her son, Sergey, to suicide. He was 18 years old. Now, Mary, sharing her views, her thoughts as the children's mental health system in the state is reshaped, is created. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, especially if you have sought mental health services for your child and have an experience that you think might be valuable for us to hear as we discuss this. We'll talk with lawmakers in just a moment. Mary, you've been had a lot to do with sharing your views in our legislature with our lawmakers. And I believe you tie this in with sort of national trends, youth depression, anxiety, suicide rates rising across the country among our youth, right?
The numbers are alarming. Suicide rates in particular, but anxiety and depression as well, are at record levels, especially among our young people, but really for people of all ages here in this country. I don't think any of us have figured out what is causing that. A lot of the numbers indicate that Americans, more than half of Americans, feel isolated and feel alone. And that's certainly leading to the feelings of depression and anxiety. For our kids, unfortunately, while social media has been a wonderful thing, it also has been a double-edged sword that social media is causing anxiety and depression amongst our young people. And I don't know that we have figured out our way through that yet, but it's because of those numbers that Larry and I also continue to speak out, because it stops my heart to think about all of the families that could face the exact same situation that we did, how devastating it was and hard it was to find our way through that. And I want to try to save other people from that same fate if we can.
We learned a little bit from Katarina there about the sort of the main points of the governor's proposal for lawmakers, which is being dealt with and debated. What are your thoughts at this point in time as you see these proposals advance? What are you most happy with? What do you feel perhaps is missing?
A couple of the things that I think are so important in the bill are the early identification and early prevention efforts that the governor's children's system bill would put in place. You know, mental health care is just like any other health situation. The earlier you can discover the situation, the earlier that you can get there with prevention and services to help, the better the outcome. So I'm incredibly happy about that. The mobile response teams to help kids in crisis. services, no matter where they are in the state, is also incredibly important to me as someone who we did find our way through the system, but it was incredibly difficult. And I know there are some families out there who wouldn't be able to do that. So those mobile response teams are really important to me. And then one piece that I've been pushing for, and it's just a kind of a real world thing that I think would help a lot of people, is a 24-hour hotline that families could call if they're looking for assistance. You know, you're in one of the darkest places, one of the most stressful moments of your life, and we're expecting you to find your way through a really complicated mental health care system here in Iowa. And if there were just some place that people could call, right, no matter where you were in the state, I think that could make a difference for people, just to know that there is a resource where folks who have knowledge would be able to help.
Right. And you described your navigation, you and your husband's navigation in your time of need, as a truly a labyrinth. So that hotline would be one stop where you could go get direction and guidance in where you go. Mary Neubauer is with us. Ben Kiefer with Katarina Sestarek, IPR's state government reporter. We're talking about the proposed legislation being shaped now, being debated, aimed at creating a children's mental health system in the state. 1-866-780-9100. Looking for experiences that perhaps you have had in seeking children's mental health services in the state that would inform us, help us learn what needs to be included in this new system that is being created. Jess is with us in Ames, 1-866-780-9100. Jess, thanks for joining us. Jess, are you there? Jess, can you hear me?
Jeff Herzberg, are you asking? Are you Jeff?
Jeff, I'm sorry. I saw Jess on my screen. Jeff is the name. I understand. Jeff in Ames, right?
The public school administrator, I think that, and I'm in Spencer.
Okay. Well, I'll just take you as you are. You are in Spencer, and what is your name?
I'm Jeff Herzberg. Mary Neubauer had asked me if I would be
right
part of the conversation
right
today.
Jeff, sorry, we were trying to connect. Let's connect with you. You are indeed one of the guests that we had planned. There's a little bit of confusion on the lines. We didn't have a caller join us, but let's go ahead with you, Jeff. We did indeed plan you, chief administrator of the Prairie Lakes Area Education Agency, part-time superintendent at Gilmore City and Bradgate Schools. Jeff, We asked you on this program because you represent a system and you're on the board that is making recommendations, has made recommendations to the governor, I understand, about the children's mental health system. From your perspective, as someone for over a quarter century have been involved in public schools here in Iowa, why do you see this as an important issue right now?
Well, as you guys have been talking about, and as it's been very public, there isn't a conversation I have with a public school principal and or superintendent that doesn't get to the question of, Jeff, how can the AEA help us with, a second grader who's has serious needs that we aren't able to handle? So the level of concern in our schools today for the students who have issues and their families and the educators trying to serve them, as well as all the other kids, is reaching a crisis state, and we need to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, how does that crisis exhibit itself in week-to-week experiences at public schools, your public schools, for instance?
Well, there's times when the classrooms have to be cleared out with all of the other children because a child is having an episode of some kind, whether that's throwing things or, you know, being violent in any way. So sometimes, again, the entire class is cleared out so that that student can be brought down to a level that they can be worked with. That happens more than we like to talk about. The fatigue and the toll that this is taking on caregivers and educators, when educators are giving all they can to try to help a student, but they're not trained mental health therapists, that's taking a toll as well, and again, causing some people, in fact, to leave our profession, or others just to be very tired and frustrated with the lack of resources outside the school, or even professionals coming in.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of examples.
Jeff, so what are your recommendations, along with others in your position, of what the role of schools should be in this new mental health system for children in Iowa?
Well, as a youth mental health first aid trainer, one of the components of that training is to help Educators be better noticers, to notice when maybe it's not typical adolescent behavior, but it somehow is leading towards a potential mental health diagnosis or mental illness. And so it's helpful that educators can become noticers because they're with those kids, for a long time throughout the course of the day. But again, we also need resources that those professionals can refer students and parents to get the help that they need outside the school. So that's one thing. I think a lot of schools that have access to resources are hiring or getting school-based therapists to come in and serve in the school so that parents don't have to take time off work to get their child to an appointment an hour away, or children don't have to miss a half a day of school to get to that appointment. So some schools have, again, more so in the urban areas, have access to counselors, are getting some of those things right in the school, and that's helping with a lot of things. The stigma of a student having to be gone, the fact that they don't have to miss school, and again, their parents don't have to miss work.
Mm-hmm. As the father of three children now in their adult years, I've seen a lot of teen behavior that one would describe as odd. Of course, that's just part of the teen years. How do we separate what might be seen as normal teen behavior, if odd, from a potential red flag?
Yeah, again, the Youth Mental Health First Aid Training does a great job of laying out a lot of examples, but one of those is isolation. So it isn't unusual for a student about those middle school years to start to want to spend less time with their family. But if they're also not spending time with friends or doing things with other groups of people, that can become a red flag right away. They're eating lunch by themselves. They're not hanging out with friends at night or on weekends, and they're staying in their room. Again, not unusual, and I'm a father of six children, and not unusual for those kids to want to spend less time with us. Those are also spending less time with others in general, that could be a sign. So we go through some examples like that, and it's really helpful for educators to see that and then, again, be on the lookout.
Okay. Jeff Hertzberg is with us, Chief Administrator of the Prairie Lakes Area Education Agency. Let's go back to our phones. We're asking this hour for you to chip in experiences, thoughts about how the children's mental health system should be shaped here in Iowa. State Senator Claire Selsey is on the phone with us. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Thank you for calling in. What would you like to pitch into our conversation, Senator?
Hi there, and hi, Mary. Thank you for your advocacy and for being such a strong voice for so many families. I just feel like we have studied this problem for long enough. Now is the time for bold action. And things are moving ever so slowly here at the Capitol, but we already know some of the answers to these problems. And what we really need to face is the fact that educators and school personnel and folks from the AEAs are on the front lines of these human tragedies and stories, but we're not giving them the money or the tools that they need to fix the problems. So when you have consistent budget cuts year after year, and you're expecting teachers to do more and more with less and less, some of those outcomes can be very poor. So I think we really need to acknowledge the problems and fix it with more money and solutions for the schools and the AEAs.
Okay, thank you very much, Senator Claire Selsey, for joining us.
You bet. Thank you.
As we head into a break here in a few minutes, we wanted to introduce our lawmakers here to make sure that we will have them for the rest of the hour, but make sure that we hear their voices. Senator Liz Mathis is with us, a Democrat of Senate District 34, Hiawatha. Senator Mathis, welcome to the program again.
Thank you, Ben. Thanks.
Shannon Lundgren is with us. Representative Lundgren is a Republican from House District 57 in Piasta. Welcome to you, Representative Lundgren.
Thank you. Glad to be here today.
Shannon Lundgren, let me ask you about where things stand in the House. And we've heard various aspects here, the urgency communicated by several of our guests. What is your view on what's happening and where it's headed?
Sure. We actually passed the bill out of our Human Resource Committee a week or so ago. And so now it moves the House floor for debate. And we added an amendment that I think was worked on. I know Mary assisted in this. And one of the things that we think is really important is the voice of the parent. So the amendment that we've added to the original bill talks about making sure a parent of a child that has gone through or is going through crisis is part of the group that is going to determine what the core services and core plus services are for these children. And then we also talk about adding an adult that has had or suffered from a mental health crisis. And we all know somebody that has certainly lived through a tragedy of either losing a child or a loved one to suicide, or is suffering from anxiety and depression. It's becoming more and more common. And we think that those voices are going to be extremely important in helping shape what the future of children's mental health looks like in the state of Iowa.
Senator Mathis, we have a couple minutes before the break. A quick word from you before we hear more in depth from you in the second half hour.
Sure. In the Senate, we've passed this as well through committee, and we really listened to the people who came to the subcommittee and talked about the things that they liked about the bill and the things that they didn't. And so then we set about in a small ad hoc committee, 3 Republicans, 3 Democrats, and tried to iron out some language, of which the House has helped us do that. And so some of the issues that we had have already been solved by the amendment in the House. But I'm sure we will take another look at it and see if there are chances that we can improve it.
Okay, let's go to our phones quickly before we do take that break. John is with us in Des Moines. Hi, John. Thanks for waiting. What's your angle on our conversation about the children's mental health system here in Iowa?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a parent of teenagers in public schools, and I'm also, I work with at-risk, I'm a teacher working with at-risk youth. And one of the things I haven't heard anyone mention is what's happening with our LGBT youth, because my daughter is bisexual, and she coordinates the GSA, the Gender and Sexuality Alliance at her high school, and she's basically become sort of the de facto suicide hotline for a lot of these kids. And when she doesn't know what to do, she has to turn to a teacher who's basically on 24-hour call. And I just hope that the legislation has something in there specifically to help LGBT youth and maybe include something about banning conversion therapy, which I know is a movement gaining strength across the country.
Okay, John in Des Moines, thank you very much. Not much time here. We have about 30 seconds. One of our lawmakers want to jump in here about LGBTQ issues foreseen in this legislation at all?
Yes, there. We're starting again at the top with just trying to formulate a governance section and then basic services, primarily about crisis care. But I can assure the caller that several of the caseworkers, case managers, people who work with children in foster care group homes or group home settings, residential settings, are trained specifically for LGBTQ issues or to help children with their behaviors or somehow with their therapies around their identity.
Okay. We'll be back with more of this conversation with Senator Liz Mathis and Representative Shannon Lundgren, as well as Mary Neubauer and Jeff Hertzberg. We're talking about creating a children's mental health system here in Iowa. There seems to be a broad consensus that something needs to change. It's being shaped. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Ben Kiefer, together with Katarina Sestarik, our state government reporter here at IPR. It's Legislative Monday on River to River.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Gravitate Coworking, a community of entrepreneurs, freelancers, and remote workers who believe that life is better when you work together. Learn more at gravitatecoworking.com/IPR. Gravitate Coworking. Find your tribe.
So good you could join us on this edition of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer with Katarina Sestarik, the state government reporter for Iowa Public Radio at the State House in Des Moines. On Mondays, we like to address issues being debated during the legislative session. Today, we're talking about creating a children's mental health system. We have several guests. Mary Neubauer is with us, the mother of a young man who died by suicide. And she is she and her husband have really opened up this painful experience so that others may learn and that we may do better in the future with serving our young people with a better mental health system. Jeff Hertzberg is with us as well, Chief Administrator of the Prairie Lakes Area Education Agency, also part-time superintendent at Gilmore City Bradgate schools, also two lawmakers, Representative Shannon Lundgren, Republican from Piasta, and Senator Liz Mathis, a Democrat from Hiawatha. Join our conversation, especially if you have a concern here. Perhaps you've sought mental health services for your child and found something lacking that would be good in this conversation. 1-866-780-9100, 1-866-780-9100. Email us, river2river at iowapublicradio.org. Katerina, you outlined at the beginning of the program how the governor submitted a proposal to lawmakers after receiving some recommendations from an advisory board, few aspects of this that it's going to direct the state's 14 mental health regions to provide similar types of services to children, aligning it with the adult mental health system we have here. Funding was mentioned briefly in the first half. Let's talk a little bit about that. Where, Katerina, does that stand right now as this system is being debated?
There's been an ongoing conversation about mental health funding in general in the state. Right now, it's funded through a combination of property taxes and Medicaid, which is a government-funded healthcare program. And essentially, the counties and the mental health regions that are implementing services for adults currently, still some of those aren't actually rolled out yet, but they've been working on it and providing services in the meantime. They're saying they're already concerned about having sustainable funding just for the mental health care for the adult mental health care system, and they're worried that being required to implement children's services will maybe push things over the edge. They won't be able to afford it. And so counties have been asking for more flexibility, for maybe caps to be removed on how much they can raise through property taxes, or just have some more flexibility with how much funding they hold on to. And there's also, some people think that the state just needs to make a bigger investment appropriations-wise into mental health. And as far as this children's mental health policy goes, there's not a ton of funding attached to it. There are for some certain pieces of it. But some advocates say there really needs to be more.
Mm-hmm. Representative Lundgren, in the House, what are the discussions about funding? I'm sure you're hearing these concerns about the lack of appropriations for this bill. How are you answering those concerns?
Well, we certainly are starting with the foundation of what the children's mental health system is going to look like. So we're talking about a children's system state board. We're talking about boards within a region, advisory boards. And so, with that discussion, we're not appropriating money. But what we are looking at is another bill that we've passed. A few years ago, we had Senate File 504, which required the mental health regions to do a spend down of the extra money that they had, down to 20 to 25%. And they had to spend that extra money by a certain deadline. And so in the House, we've taken that up to 40%, and we have also extended it 5 years because we're very cognizant of the fact that we don't know what these mental health services are going to cost our mental health regions. So we're going to continue to have those conversations with our regions, and certainly we have requests, yes, to change the levy caps or the levy dollar amount that counties can levy. And not everybody is equalized. We have counties that are in a mental health region that are certainly not as urban. They're more rural. The money is a little harder to come by than maybe some of the more urban regions. And then we have regions that are kind of on an island by themselves. So we're going to have to definitely address that. And I think that is the conversation that will happen between now and next session. And then we'll come back with some ideas and some movement that we can do next year to make sure that we've got a sustainable funding mechanism for both adult and children's mental health.
Senator Mathis, does your party, the Democratic Party, see it differently in terms of funding?
Well, actually, I think Representative Lundgren landed on a lot of the key issues here, that 40% is really going to help generate some money that will fill the gaps, basically. So we have to fund a hotline. So the governor's budget has about $306,000 in the hotline. She's also got about $1.5 million in her budget for reducing the waiting list. And then there's $3 million appropriated to start training teachers to identify mental health issues in the classroom. I think that's a good start. However, when we get into really, really treating people, the direct care of those children who need crisis services, we're going to have to start getting very serious about perhaps asking regions or giving regions the ability to work on that mental health levy, to work with that number so that it's appropriate for their region according to what the services, you know, the abundancy of the services that are needed. So that's one of the things. Another thing that was floating around for a while, I don't know if it has life anymore, but it was generated in the House, was a 1 cent sales tax. A portion of that would go to the water, land, and legacy, so the I Will program. Another section of it would go to mental and health and for children and adults, and another section to property tax relief. Now, I would say that sounds great, but I Will is constitutionally protected. The mental health money that might be appropriated is not. I'd feel much better with that plan if we could constitutionally protect that. So there are some ideas that are floating around, and that idea really stemmed from a Republican actually in the House, and it's gained some speed. I don't know if we'll address it this session, but again, as Representative Lundgren and Mary are both saying, we're at the very beginning of this. We've mm-hmm. never had a children's system, and so people need to kind of step back a little bit, look at what it is that we're proposing and doing, and that's what we're funding first, and then the rest will come after that.
Talking about creating a children's mental health system in the state with Senator Liz Mathis, Representative Shannon Lundgren, Mary Neubauer, and Jeff Hertzberg. Join our conversation, 1-866-780-9100. We want to go back to our phones in just a moment, but on this funding issue, to make sure we're hearing the voices of our other guests here, Jeff Hertzberg, as an administrator at Prairie Lakes Area Education Agency, tell us your thoughts on funding. What do you think the funding structure has to be to work?
Well, I think it has to be a structure that helps every Iowan, no matter where you choose to live. And if the numbers are accurate, that 1 in 5 Iowans are dealing with some sort of mental health issue, it's not enough to say, you know, we're having conversation, because people sometimes confuse conversation with action.
Mm.
So I believe that if we had 20% of Iowans that were suffering from an epidemic of some other public health issue that we could see and feel, and the hospitals were overrun, we would immediately enact funding to support that. And again, I know I don't understand all the ins and outs of the budgeting process, but when I see things in the paper, like Senator Whitmer said a week ago or so, that, you know, if the budget target is 97.3% of available revenues, you know, this will put $1.1 billion in the bank. That was the quote in the Des Moines Register. So, again, accuracy. Hopefully that's the truth. That seems to be irresponsible when we've got people who are dying literally today, tomorrow, before we can act perfect, because there are things that we can do and we can get in place if we would allocate some additional resources. And again, I'm not asking for the whole $1 billion, but as I've tried to explain sometimes, if I'm saving for a vacation, if I'm saving for a rainy day, if I'm saving for a new refrigerator for my house, and one of my children need braces or needs mental health support, I'm going to stop that saving. I'm going to take that money out, and I'm going to put it where it needs to be. And so, again, I would urge the legislators to take extreme caution by saying, you know, enough is enough, and we'll do it next year. Because, again, 476 Iowans died 2 years ago by suicide, and that number's not going to get smaller by just having conversations. So we need resources allocated, and they need to be everywhere in the state of Iowa, again, no matter where a person lives.
Representative Lundgren, I want to ask you about one aspect of the bill. Some concerns have been brought up about a lack of deadlines for services to be implemented. And when the adult system was created, there were deadlines in there for you need to implement these services by this time. Some worry there won't be enough accountability if there aren't deadlines. Can you talk a bit about that and why those aren't in the bill?
Sure. We're still having that conversation. Obviously, this bill hasn't been passed on the House floor yet. So the purpose of funnel is to get our priorities out, and then to continue to work with the Senate across the aisle to make sure that we are setting what we think is appropriate for it to follow. You know, the one thing that people fail to realize is that the rulemaking process isn't a quick or easy process. And so we get asked sometimes to step back a little bit and allow rules to be processed and written, and then the deadlines take effect. So that's what we're kind of weighing right now, is that we make sure that we get all of the rules and the priorities in place and then continue to work on it. So the discussion, just like adult mental health, it doesn't go away. We're continuing to talk, as Senator Mathis said, about funding adult mental health. So those conversations still happen, but there is a process in place and it doesn't always move as quickly as we want. Believe me, if I had my say, we would do everything tomorrow, but we do have to allow the wheels of democracy to work, and this is kind of how it does.
Talking about the children's mental health system being created here in Iowa with two legislators, Shannon Lundgren, representative from Piasta, and Liz Mathis, Senator Liz Mathis, along with Mary Neubauer and Jeff Hertzberg. We have just a few minutes left of our hour. It's gone very quickly. Of course, a lot of different facets of this conversation. We talk about mental health for our youngsters. Let's go to Monica in Humboldt. Hi, Monica. Welcome to the program. I'll ask you to be brief. We have a lot of things we still want to try to get in before the end of the hour. We welcome you to our program.
Okay. Well, thank you. I am a parent who, about 12 years ago, when my older daughter was 15, struggled very seriously with the mental health structure here in Iowa. When she was 15, she came to me and basically said she didn't want to live anymore. She was a cutter. She suffered from depression. She had cut up her arms and legs, and there were thousands of cuts throughout her arms, and she carved the word hate in her leg. Mm. In order to get her help, and she was seeing a therapist at this time, we had to take her an hour away to a hospital in Iowa Falls that is no longer there. And they had to put her in an adult ward and had to monitor her because she was among adults. She was only 15, a 15-year-old girl that had to be put in an adult ward. They were wonderful to her. She spent 4 days there. When we got done, she got out of the hospital, and we actually had to stay in a hotel, and we have a 7-year-old daughter at the same time who had to miss school. When we got her back out of the hospital, we went to the school for a 504, which means that if a child has any disabilities, whether it's mental or physical, the school has got to make accommodations for that child in order for them to succeed. For Haley, we had that meeting set up with her principal. Mm-hmm. She had 8 teachers total. Mm. Out of those 8 teachers, 1 teacher showed up at her 504 meeting. And it was heartbreaking to see how little the school really cared about my child.
Monica,
she would tell me she would walk down. Yep.
Thank you so much for this story. I'm sorry, our hour is running out. We want to know, how is your daughter today?
She is a mother of a beautiful 3-year-old. She worked at Brentwood for a while, which are children just like her, but in more fractured of a environment. And she said the only difference in between her and those girls were the fact that we tried so hard. But it's very hard. It's very hard to see your child struggle and have no help. She went through multiple therapists.
Right. And Monica.
And multiple drugs.
Right. Monica. Well, I'm glad that she is thriving today. Monica in Humboldt, they're echoing a lot of the feeling of being in a labyrinth that Mary Neubauer explained earlier in the hour. I wonder, as the hour's getting away from us, Katarina Sestaric, what do you, the things we won't get to, but what do we need to talk to yet or go a little bit deeper in before this hour ends?
Well, I think one of the things that came out of the advisory board that sort of helped make recommendations for this proposal was that universal mental health screenings were needed for kids. It's something, there was an Iowa poll that said 77% of the people surveyed supported this. And so maybe, Mary Neubauer, do you want to talk about that recommendation and how you feel about it not being in the bill and what else might be done about it?
You know, that was a central piece of the recommendation from the board, and I think that all of the board members, who included educators, mental health professionals, lawmakers, parents, agreed that we think that's important. Just like we screen for vision and hearing, this would be another health screening for children. What we didn't feel, though, however, was that we had enough expertise on the board to know the proper ages to be doing the screenings, or perhaps the exact right kind of screenings to be doing, especially if it would be in a school setting. So there, I am thrilled to note that there is the Mid-Iowa Health Foundation has come forward with up to $50,000 in funding for medical professionals to do a pilot project of this screening. And that pilot project should answer the questions that I've just talked about. What type of screening are we going to do? What ages would be appropriate for the screening to be done? Because if we're going to take a step like this, I know we all want to make sure that we get it right and that we're doing our best to help kids and to help identify issues. So I'm thrilled to see that work going on. I think that's why it isn't in the bill this year, but it certainly is something that we can come back and talk about again at a future point.
I want to ask if our lawmakers have seen anything in other states that already exists that may be a model for Iowa or something for Iowa to cue off of. Liz Mathis, what have you seen when you've looked at other states?
Yes, Ben. So prior to this bill being formulated, I wrote some legislation that started the discussion back up again for a children's mental health system. And so we met for 2.5 years. And the very first year, we took a look at mental health in Minnesota, in Tennessee, in Kentucky, in Washington State, in Oregon State. We looked at some of the elements, even in Texas, looked at some of the elements that were successful in those states, how they were able to create a system, what it looked like, braided funding. And we had a robust discussion that first summer and fall after the legislative session, after the legislature passed that bill. And we were able to kind of take a look at, well, we know we have to start with crisis services. We know we have to take a look at a child in crisis because that's where we have the most need in the state of Iowa. So we began building from that, and then it morphed into the governor's bill that's before us.
Okay. And I do want to bring up, too, some of the eligibility requirements that some had concerns about. One of the things is essentially families who are at 500% or lower of the federal poverty level would be eligible for services. Some people thought that that was maybe going to be an issue because it's not just poor people who are affected by this. Representative Lundgren, can you talk about that income guideline and why it's there, maybe, why I think it's a good thing?
Sure. Well, first I want to be clear that Iowa does have mental health services for children. And so the children, like Mary's child, who had parents and family that could accommodate what his needs were and navigate the system, it was available to them. It was just not easy. So we need to address that, obviously. But secondly, we've got a group of people that fall under these mental health regions, both adults and children, that either don't have the appropriate health insurance, their insurance doesn't cover this, or Medicaid may not pay for some of these services. And so there's got to always be a hard line as to who and what we can provide for. But we certainly want to take the most vulnerable first. And then I think that discussion is going to continue to move and happen. I mean, our industry and insurance is changing significantly over the years, whether it be your own personal insurance or the Medicaid system. And so the conversation will keep going. At this point, again, we're not necessarily talking strictly about funding and how we're going to pay for the services. So as we go and we move and we add core and core plus services, I think that'll be an important part of the conversation.
As we wrap up this conversation with a couple minutes left, a few words from our lawmakers. Senator Mathis, perhaps with you, how do you see the timeline on this? Well, how do you see this moving forward?
We want it to move quickly.
Right.
You know,
What does that mean? Well, is that weeks?
Well, we would like it to, but in reality, you know, it'll be months or perhaps a couple of years. Take a look, really, Ben, look at the adult mental health system. It's taken years to get it to the point where it is right now, especially with, you know, the regional development. And there are even problems with the adult regions. And that was one of the things that I was most worried about is we're overlaying a children's system on top of an adult region. Some of the regions are doing a great job. Others are having some issues, financial issues. So we'll have to keep watch on that. But yeah, we want to do it as quickly as we can. It's needed.
Representative Lundgren, weeks, months, years?
Well, you know, I have no doubt that once we get this bill through the House and the Senate chambers, the governor will sign it as quickly as she did last year with adult mental health. But again, a lot of the conversations that we had today revolve around those conversations continuing to happen. We want to make sure that when we set this system, we set it up for success for the children that need it and not for failure. So it does take time. It's a lengthy process, but we're going to keep moving on it. And I know that we've all on both sides of the aisle in the House and the Senate have pledged to spend the amount of time it takes to make sure we get it right.
Mary Neubauer, you started off this program with us sharing the painful story of losing your son to suicide. Sergey, you and your husband have been at work trying to raise awareness on this issue. How are you feeling going forward when you listen to our lawmakers and others who have called and others who are concerned?
I feel that obviously there is still a need out there in Iowa. That's why we're having this conversation. But folks who have been in the conversation a lot longer than me have said it's taken us 30 years to get to this point to actually have a bill to establish a children's mental health system. So I do think this is a watershed moment. I think that there is finally momentum, and I firmly believe that this bill will start to put into place the additional help that people are calling for. As Liz and Shannon have said, will this make everything okay right away? No, but it's a start. And if we're ever going to make improvement, we have to start somewhere. So let's do it this year.
Well, thank you for all joining in this conversation. Mary Neubauer, Senator Liz Mathis, Representative Shannon Lundgren, also Jeff Hertzberg joining us by phone, and the callers. We had such important input from experiences all around Iowa. Thank you all so much for this conversation on behalf of me and also Katarina Sestarik. River to River is produced by Caitlin Harrop and Emily Woodbury. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.